We have found ourselves at the end of the journey through yet another book of the Bible. It has been a joy and a pleasure to study the book of Exodus with you. If you were in our Monday night Bible study, to you, we want to say good job. You made it. And also, be looking out because we're going to be announcing our next study very soon for the fall. We were so glad that you were here. Thanks for listening.
Kidding? Okay, so tonight, God with us, week 9. Our prayer focus this week was Psalm 43:3. Send your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy mountain, to your dwelling place. And that is our prayer tonight as we walk through the end of this, that God would send his light and his truth, and that we would write it on our hearts, and that he would lead us. So we're gathered tonight to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. And throughout our time in Exodus, we have seen God command his people to remember. He has called them to remember where they were and where God has brought them. The main way he asked them to remember was through festivals and rest. So Tanea covered rest last week, and how fitting that we get to talk about some festivals tonight. We had our Easter celebrations with our families yesterday, and today we get to celebrate with our devoted family. And one of the things that we are going to celebrate besides the resurrection is the ending to this study, that we made it through another year in God's Word. And I want us to all to remember and to think about where we were at the beginning of the study and where we are now. God has grown us together. How much more do we know, and how much more do we love the Lord because of our time here at Devoted every Monday? We show up seeking the face of the Lord. Deuteronomy 6, 5 through 9 says, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your strength. These words that I am giving you today are to be in your heart. Repeat them to your children. Talk about them when you sit in your house and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Bind them as a sign on your hand and let them be a symbol on your forehead. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your city gates. God commanded the Israelites to remember and to teach the generations. And I want us to know tonight that your children and your families watch you show up Monday after Monday, and they will remember. And it is through the example that our kids and people learn. So as they watch us do that in our own way, we're teaching the next generation. So, since we are at the end, I think the most appropriate thing for us to do is to go back to the beginning. Exodus began with a cry for rescue, and it ends tonight with God with us. We really could just stop right there. God had chosen a people for himself back in Genesis, and our story picked up with the descendants of Abraham, those whom the promise of becoming a nation had been fulfilled. We witnessed God's faithfulness, promise after promise being fulfilled. We watched it unfold week after week. The Israelites were fruitful. They increased rapidly, multiplied, and became extremely numerous in the land of Egypt in which they dwelt. God heard the cries of the people and set into motion a plan to deliver his people, a plan of redemption. God chose Moses. God protected Moses and placed him in a palace. He then put in him a desire to walk away from it all. God gave Moses a deep love and devotion for his people. And as we moved on in our time of Exodus, we witnessed a war. We saw the one true God defeat the enemy who enslaved, abused, and deeply wounded the people God had created for himself. Moses, through the power of God, performed miracle after miracle after miracle. The miracles defeated the enemy, but they also proved Yahweh to be worthy, to be trusted, and more importantly, to be worshiped. The last strike was set to play out, and in that last strike was the slaughter of the firstborn. And God offered a way of escape to everyone, the way of redemption. God had a desire to see all people from all nations be released from the power of darkness. God provided the way. God provided the sacrifice. God provided the blood. And in the midst of it all, God provided a way for the victory to be remembered. He set in place the festivals, memorials, and celebrations. That is why we are gathered tonight for Feaster, to remember our deliverance from the evil one and to remember the victory of Jesus Christ. After God delivered the people from the serpent king, he then began to deliver them from themselves, from their wounds, from the effects of the horror of their slavery, from the deep ingrained mindset, from dwelling in a land dirty with idol worship and pagan rituals. He began the process of making the people like him. He started by reminding the people that all they needed to survive was to trust. He started with the basic needs like food and water, the things people need to survive. He showed them that he was provider again and again and again. He proved himself trustworthy, and then he started to give the laws and the commands and the regulations. He laid out a clear picture of sin and its consequences, of sin leading to death, of every action the people made having a consequence, of making restitution for everything that they did wrong, not to save themselves, but to set themselves apart, to be restored into the original blueprint God had designed. If they chose to define good and evil for themselves, death would be the result, just like it was for Adam and Eve. And I think for me, the sweetest part of all of this was seeing the incomprehensible love of God and the commitment that he made to a very flawed people. He put much care and effort. And if we even like remember the last few lessons where we read a lot of details, right? Like God is a God of details and he cares about all the little things. And though they were very long, there was a purpose there for sure. So he gave Moses all of these instructions. And we saw in that just this beautiful picture of this God that designs every bit of everything he does with complete purpose. And again, just that beautiful detail. And then we even saw last week, he gave the people the ability to do what he had called them to, right? But we can't forget that in the midst of the plan, the people gave in to their temptation. They take their face off of the mountain where God was resting and yet again placed it on earthly things. The people felt alone, deserted. Where had Moses gone? They asked, where was God? And then again, in 34:18 through 26, we see God point them back to festivals and worship. Recognition of who he is and remembrance of what he had done. So tonight, we close our study with God moving in. We have discussed a lot throughout our time in Exodus about the parallelism between Moses and Jesus. Moses is a typology or a type of Jesus. He gives us this picture of Jesus to come. We've repeated that over and over and over. So Moses was a chosen son. Moses, like Jesus, left his life of royalty to do God's will. Moses performed miracles. Moses was sent to deliver God's people. Through Moses, God defeated the evil oppression of Pharaoh or the serpent king. Moses was a prophet. Moses interceded for the people. I could go on and on, but y'all get what I'm telling you. You get my point. So tonight, we saw that Moses did everything just as the Lord commanded him. That's what was repeated in our lesson over and over. He is obedient to the will of the Father, and Moses makes a way for the people to draw near to the Lord, just like Jesus. It didn't matter what had taken place, what they had done or failed to do. God was going to move in. There is never a time in the whole story of Scripture from beginning to end where God totally forsakes mankind. Never. He is committed to his creation. But there's a lot of accounts of humans refusing to set themselves apart for him. So I was thinking back to Candace's teaching of the Holy of Holies and the tabernacle and the mountain and the garden and those circles that she had made. And this just beautiful picture of us as God's dwelling place. She taught about the garden. She taught about the mountain. She taught about the tabernacle. And we too are God's dwelling place. And I was thinking of those circles. And just really consider it. We're fellow citizens with the saints and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. With Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone, in him the whole building being put together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him, you are also being built together for God's dwelling in the Spirit. Just like the tabernacle, our hearts, minds, and wills are like a circle, and we have stages and depths that we allow Jesus into. Jesus has come to deliver us from the darkness, from the one who enslaved us, who abused us and manipulated us, from the one who deeply wounded us. Jesus also came to deliver us from ourselves, from our wounds, from the effects of the horror of our slavery, from the deep ingrained mindset, from dwelling in a land with idol worship and pagan rituals. We're no different. There are stages of maturity and growth in our Christian walk with Christ. And the more we let go, the closer we get, the more intimate, more special, and more secure we become. And those circles, like, it's a progression, right? Our assurance in God grows. We start to believe who we are. We are a chosen people. Our homework had us look at 2 Peter. We are a royal priests, a holy nation. And so how? How is that possible? Aaron's priesthood inaugurated in a permanent priesthood, and that's in Christ. Jesus is the last and the only high priest. It is only in Jesus and because of Jesus that we are God's very own possession. And as a result, we start to show others the goodness of God. God called us out of darkness and into his wonderful light. He delivered us. Once we had no identity as a people, now we are God's people. Once we received no mercy, and now we have received God's mercy. We are now like the Israelites, temporarily residents and foreigners. He is calling us to look different, to consecrate ourselves, to keep away from worldly things and desires that corrupt and wage war on our souls. Like the priests and their garments, we have to clothe ourselves with righteousness. We have to put on our new nature and let the Spirit of God renew our thoughts and our attitudes. God is with us. The cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Moses was unable to enter the tent of the meeting because the cloud rested on it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Commentary points out that we don't earn our rescue, and God doesn't love us more when we obey.
That's right.
Yet, undeniably, when we walk in God's light and truth, there is blessing. Proverbs 3:5-6 speaks beautifully to this. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths." Again, we are reminded that this is all on God's terms, not by what we do or what we don't do, but what he decides. He was with the Israelites to guide them throughout all the stages of their journey, and he is with us to do the same. So tonight, we gather here and we celebrate. We are God's chosen. He died for us. He made a way, and he is dwelling with us. God is with us.